podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
This is about my favorite part of this job. I get to finally shut it down. Each time is one less time, and now it's quiet. Finally gets to be dark. They get old after a while, you know. Well, this is the light show. It's a bunch of Christmas themes and maybe not so Christmas themes, but it's all lit up and you sit in your car, listen to your happy-go-lucky holiday music and ogle at the pretty lights shaped like, I guess just about anything. Balloons, balls, there's a wall. It makes a whole lot of sense somehow, I suppose. I just don't know to who or how. But some of the people seem to really like it, I guess. So now we're closed. So I get the joy of shutting the lights out for everybody. Start off by making the 12 days of Christmas the no days of Christmas. Watch your head, because we're going to go under this. This will shut out about all the 12 days. Yeah, a lot of people that get annoyed that they have to pay, like it doesn't cost any money to put this on. A lot of people who expect holiday cheer from you over and over again. I'd say, the people that you encounter are all thrilled to pieces or spend a lot of time pretending to like their family. Oh, when I was a kid, I loved Christmas. You wake up 3-4 in the morning, go down, see if Santa came. You got all the things you wanted. I mean, the song said it best, the most wonderful time of year. But I guess after you see a whole lot of the public, it's not as wonderful for everybody. It's a lot of kids being stuck in the back and miserable that they have to have the kids out. And you know, why even come? Either enjoy it or don't waste your time. The way I see it, at least. This doesn't make any sense to me anymore. Kind of look forward to January 15th. It's quiet. Everyone forgot about everyone. You don't get all these cards in the mail. Oh, look at Tommy. He's holding a wreath. Woohoo. Oh, my favorite holiday is Easter, I guess. Sure do like those peeps. Stale ones. They're real good. So what we have here is my beautiful piece of history. I don't know if you can tell so much right now, but it's purple. Call her my purple pony. And this is what I get to use to drive around and hit off all these lights. That castle over there, I don't know if you can see it, that is the final shutdown for the evening. So what was it that soured me on Christmas? I mean, it could be the job. It could be me getting a little older. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's just time. More time seeing all the people. That's what it is. It's the Christmas spirit. that everybody seems to have these days. Well, so these are the last lights, last panel, last switch. It's like the end of Christmas every day. You know, one day I really do hope to like Christmas again. I used to love it. Maybe I just need to be further away from people for a good bit of time. I figure I've been too exposed to Christmas for about 10 years now. Well, I guess we compare it to, let's say, for like when a girl breaks up with you, it takes about half the amount of time you were together to get over it. Probably be here another 10. And so, I guess in about 2035, I just might start liking it again. So I guess I have something to look forward to. Merry Christmas.
So after watching that short film, you are either laughing or crying, or maybe a little bit of both. And can you relate with this man a little bit? Just a little bit. Can you relate a little bit with his ambivalence toward Christmas? It would probably make a good discussion starter for us to just sit down with a group of folks and talk about what do you learn from something like that? James Gannon, the director of this short film, puts it best in an interview. He was asked about his reaction to the film. And he says, "The general response to the film has been great. Lots of laughter for the most part. The thing is, he's not spewing hate speech about the holidays. He's just burnt out. And I think that time of the year can do that to most of us. The marketing is overkill. The music is constantly playing everywhere you go. There's only so much someone can take before you feel like you've had enough of the joy." So what you got in this film is this festive atmosphere of Christmas lights in the background, contrasted with the comments of this grumpy man who's had enough of it. If you caught yourself laughing or agreeing with him, don't feel bad. I think we all get it to a certain extent. You see, somewhere along the course of history, Christmas has become less about the gift and more about the wrapping paper. Have you noticed that? That Christmas has become less about the truth and more about the twinkle. So what happens when you exchange the real thing, which is Jesus Christ, for a substitute, Christmas? It loses all connection to reality, doesn't it? We start overhyping things, you know, looking to create perfection. Currier and Ives, Norman Rockwell, Southern Living Magazine, right? And we get an image of what it should be, and we go all out for that. All right, this is what it is. And somewhere in the middle of it all, we forget why we're celebrating in the first place, because we get so caught up in the celebration itself. You see, when we're so busy with Christmas that we leave out Christ, what's the use of it all? A holiday is a holy day. And if you take the holy out, you're left propping up just another day. For every person trying to create the perfect Christmas, recognize that there are folks like the subject of this short film who are just burnt out, right? They've had enough. They can see beyond all of the lights, the facade of the lights, into the darkness. You know, someone who works at a place like that gets jaded after a while. Everybody comes excited to see the lights, and he's seen them already a million times. It's like working at Disney World, right? Everybody comes to Disney World excited. It's the best day of their life. But if you've worked there for years and years and years, you know, the glow starts to subside a bit. So folks like that can see beyond all of the lights, and they can see into the darkness that surrounds that. They have experienced loss, and it all just looks put on and fake. And the Christmas season is a nightmare sometimes, because the extravagance and the wealth and the family fun that others are portraying is something that they have never known. Or even worse, it's something that they once had and now they've lost. And to be honest, they can't wait for the celebration to end so they can just resume their brokenness apart from the illusion of perfection that everyone else is creating around them. Now that might sound kind of harsh, and I'm sorry if it does, but maybe we need sometimes to just look into the darkness again to be reminded of the biblical reality. Last week there was a murder in an apartment in King. There was a 17-year-old young man who lost his life to a bullet shot by a 19-year-old. And if what I've heard is correct, and you know, I don't want to spread any rumors, they were fighting over drugs. And that's right here. That's right here in our community. That family will have a hard time celebrating Christmas this year or any year for that matter. But oh, how I pray, that they don't miss out on Christ. There will be men and women who will work late hours in retail on Christmas Eve. I know some of our folks work in retail, and you might have to work late on Christmas Eve. And then they're going to return home, some of these folks, to a dark, empty room. They're going to crack open a can of beer, and they're going to try to recover from a demanding day filled with angry customers. And they might even wish that the 25th was just another day of work. At least they could have something to do besides sit in front of the television and pass the time and push away the memories. People like that don't need another celebration. They need a savior. So I have a quick refresher course this morning. Let's drain out some of the bathwater that surrounds us so that we can focus once again on the baby. So among the gospel accounts, we have Matthew and Luke that give us the most detailed pictures of the nativity story, right? We all know the stories from Matthew and from Luke, but it's the gospel of John that gives us this more esoteric view of the nativity. John doesn't focus on the details of the virgin birth or the angels or the shepherds or the wise men. John focuses on the impact of God becoming a man. Light intruding into the darkness. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to the first 14 verses of the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 14. Page 750 in your pew Bible. John chapter 1, starting with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So focus with me on that last verse we just read. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. God came here to be with us, to live His life in our midst. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is what Christmas is all about. God Himself stepping out of heaven and coming to earth to save us. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's assess the situation into which Christ came. It's the same situation we face today. The world is plunged in darkness. Right, light doesn't make any sense unless there is darkness. You know that to be the case, right? That you can turn the lights on your Christmas tree and enjoy them during the day, but at night, when you can turn the lights out and maybe light just a few candles and then light up the tree, it just comes more beautifully to the eye. Recognize this, that the world is plunged in darkness, that the darkness into which Christ came is the darkness of sin, right? The darkness of rebellion against God, the darkness of those who choose to manage their lives apart from their Creator. That is the darkness into which Jesus came. Later in his gospel, John writes, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Do you see what we have here? We have people committing evil deeds who wish to keep those evil deeds hidden. And where do you go when you want to hide evil deeds? Darkness. The shadow of that darkness began with Adam and Eve who sinned in the garden, and it has continued to fall on history. All men and women throughout history have experienced this darkness. That shadow extends its way all the way to us. And the world that we live in today is dominated with darkness. You can't help but experience that darkness day by day by day. God chose His people, Israel, out of the world that they might obey Him and cut through the darkness. He says in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." He says to Israel in Isaiah 60, "See, a darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." So Israel was chosen by God to shine that light into the darkness, but Israel failed in her mission by rebelling against God and falling into idolatry. So God punished them and sent them into exile and removed them from their land. Eventually, they returned to the land, but their land was no longer their own. They were ruled by the Romans. And it was into that darkness, the darkness of a failed chosen people, the darkness of this people and their land being ruled by foreigners, the darkness of idolatry and rebellion against God, into that situation, Christ's birth pierces the darkness. Here in John chapter 1 in verse 4, we read, "In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We read in verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And then in John 1:14, we read about His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The entrance of Jesus, the Son of God, into the world as a baby, born of a virgin in Bethlehem, was an event that John describes in theological terms here. He says, Jesus is the light shining into the darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is God's shining glory come to earth. Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that the chosen people of Israel could not accomplish. The birth of Jesus Christ fulfills God's plan to bring light to all of the world, all of the nations. So then we celebrate Christmas with lights. But when we turn on those lights and enjoy those lights, it's to point to a greater reality. It's not about the lights themselves. It's about what the lights represent. Think about that the next time you drive through Tanglewood or visit the Pilot Mountain Christmas or wherever it is that you go to look at the lights. Or even if it's just to go out in your backyard and to stare at the starlit sky. Just think about it. The birth of Jesus Christ fulfills God's plan to bring light to all the nations. Apart from Christ, those lights don't make any sense at all. They have no purpose. They have no meaning. But not only does Christ's birth pierce the darkness, but Christ's death destroys the darkness. Right? John writes in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, that the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. This is the light coming into the darkness that John speaks about in John chapter 1. Here in his letter, he says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Praise God for that. So what Jesus does is he comes from the land of light, from the throne of heaven, and he enters into this dark world and lives in our midst. He is the light of the world, and he lives his life in perfect righteousness, glorifying God in everything that he says and everything that he does. And then he takes our darkness and our evil and our sin upon himself, and he goes to the cross. And there, in our place, as our substitute, he sacrifices his life. And then he defeats the kingdom of darkness by rising up from the dead. And you, by believing that message and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive the forgiveness of God, and your citizenship is transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And here's how John puts it in John chapter 8, verse 12. When John spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 12:36, Jesus said, believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. And John chapter 12, verse 46, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. So you see, Jesus came to destroy the darkness through his death and his resurrection. So then everyone who repents of their sin and trusts in him comes out of the darkness and into the light. And then once you step into the light, Jesus says in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. It starts from the baby coming from heaven to earth, God in the flesh, bringing the light of heaven with him, spreading that light throughout this world, dying on the cross, defeating darkness, and then for all who believe in him, you are the light of the world. Your life dispels the darkness. So you have a role to play in this as well. We live in a world that is plunged in darkness. Christ came in order to pierce that darkness. Christ's death has destroyed that darkness. And your life dispels the darkness. God uses you as a part of His plan. This is the part of the Christmas message that we sometimes forget. So let's follow the light for just a moment. Genesis chapter 1. The world is covered with darkness. Right? It is formless and void and covered with darkness. And God says, "Let there be light." And there was light. Then Satan enters the garden and successfully tempts Adam and Eve, and they fall to their sin, and they are thrown out of the garden, and the world is plunged into the darkness of sin. And then the history of this world is one sin after another, worse and worse as the testimony of God is removed from people's lives. And then God chooses a nation, right? Israel, to represent His glory and to shine His light into the world. But Israel fails its mission and falls into the darkness of rebellion and sin and idolatry and fails to be the light that God wants them to be. So instead, into the darkness, God sends the fulfillment of all, His Son, Jesus. From the throne of heaven to a manger in Bethlehem, He shines this light. And Jesus walks through the darkness of this world, and everywhere He goes, He shines the light. Everywhere He goes, He enlightens the world. He does miracles. He preaches the message of the good news and of the kingdom of God. And He brings light everywhere He goes. He lives a perfect, holy life. He passes the test of temptation from Satan, the prince of darkness, with no sin of His own. And Jesus takes the rebellion and the sin of this world, takes that darkness upon Himself, and is sacrificed on the cross. His dead body is placed in a tomb. Darkness for 3 days. And then He is raised from the dead. And when He is raised from the dead, He defeats death and darkness. Now, all who turn from their sin and turn to Jesus for salvation, He fills you with His light. You are the light of the world. To the extent that you reflect the light of Christ, you are a Christmas light. When I was a kid, my dad used to drive us, the whole family, we'd pack into the Oldsmobile and we'd go to look at the lights. That's what we did every year. And now, there was no Tanglewood in those days, understand. There was no light show that you would drive through and pay money. You'd just go and drive down the road and go to the neighborhoods where you knew people had lights. Or there was particular houses where you know people were, you know, footing the light bill. So you'd go there. And you'd drive by, and we would cruise neighborhoods. And I remember one cul-de-sac there in suburban New Jersey where there were 12 homes on the cul-de-sac. And you know what they did with 12 homes. Somewhere along the line, the residents of that cul-de-sac decided that they were going to decorate their houses as the 12 days of Christmas, right? So streams of cars would go down this road, turn around, and come back through the road again. Passing by, starting with the partridge in the pear tree, and I won't bore you, but they ended with the 12 drummers drumming, all the way through the 12 days of Christmas. But I remember one year we drove through the display, and one of the houses was pitch black, completely black, no lights whatsoever. I don't remember whether it was the Seven Swans of Swimming or the Five Golden Rings. I don't remember which one it was. But it had a for sale sign in front of it. And it made me wonder if the new buyer was going to have to sign some sort of an agreement to continue the Seven Swans of Swimming display as a part of their closing. I don't know whether they were going to have to do that or not, but it should not surprise us in our day to see that there are lives engulfed with darkness. People who just don't get the light. They don't comprehend it. It makes no sense. It shouldn't surprise us. And then every year at Christmas, folks decorate their homes and their trees with lights that look pretty. But has the reality of the Christmas message of light penetrating darkness been lost in the midst of it all? Life's tragic problem is darkness and brokenness and isolation and lostness. That's the world in which we live. Everyone is looking for some hope, some intimacy, some forgiveness, some life. They're looking for a future. And God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to be the light in the darkness. And He is the only antidote that there is to the darkness of the soul. Not a celebration. It's not a season. It's not overhyping and becoming anxious about how we're going to celebrate and how the gifts are going to be received and how the decorations look. It's not about those things, but it's about a Savior, the Prince of Peace, Christ the Lord. And He has chosen to live out His life through you. Through you. Your witness of Christ is hope for the lost. It won't be a holiday celebration that does it, right? It's not going to be a holiday celebration that does it. Don't let that keep you from celebrating. Don't let that keep you from decorating. Don't let that keep you from enjoying. But make sure you realize what it all points to, and don't lose the meaning and the purpose behind it. It's not going to be a light show that brings warmth to people's hearts. It will be the people of God who have experienced the light of Jesus Christ, who go out into the darkness and have the courage to shine in the midst of the darkness. So I want to encourage you to be the light that you were called to be, a light that testifies to the truth of who Jesus is. Not the warmth of a holiday, but the radical change that salvation brings. So what does that look like? What does it look like to shine the light of God? What does it look like to be the light of God shining into the darkness? Just look at Jesus. Just look at Jesus. Look how He shined the light of God into the darkness. Shine some love. Look around for some folks in your world that are living in darkness who desperately need some touch of love. And you be the light for them. Shine some peace. Since Jesus is the Prince of Peace, look around you and look where there is anxiety and where there is unrest and where there are folks not getting along and where there is hatred and where there is strife. And don't add to it. As a Christian, step in and be the light of the world and bring peace any way you can manage it. Shine hope. Look for those who aren't looking forward to the future, those who are dreading today, and step into their lives and in some way bring a little bit of hope. Tell them about what Jesus Christ has done for you in your life and shine the gospel into their life. That's what it looks like. Just carry the light. Wherever you go, carry the light. But let's not miss out on the reason for the lights in the first place. Light has come into the world in the person of Jesus Christ. He has shined into your darkness. Now reflect that light and be the light that He has called you to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Your close friend, the Apostle John, and the fact that he recognized Your glory and had the experience of seeing Your light And Father, that he is willing to challenge us this morning, that we might be that light. So Father, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to see the need. Help us, Lord, to recognize the darkness of our world, and help us, Father, to be courageous enough to step into it and to be the light. Father, I thank you for those who have come today to be baptized, Lord. They are a picture of what you are doing in this world, plucking folks from darkness, bringing them into the light. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that you might help us to live out our testimony before the world in such a way that they see who you are. And Father, help us not to be so consumed with the season, with the holidays, Father, with the externals, but help us, Lord, to be consumed with the person of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.